Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get to Jason Mackey in just 1 minute, our Pirates insider. I'm so disappointed for the businesses in Latrobe and for the people in Latrobe that, see that as such a badge of honor and are rewarded monetarily by camp going up there, the bars and the taverns and the hotels and everything, and just the small businesses. It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. I'm sure we'll talk about it in just a little bit.
Yeah,
and I am also disappointed for the fans that just see it as something that they enjoy going to in the summer. I don't know why they can't safely hold it. That's the NFL has made the – they've denied the request. I don't know why.
There better be some really good reasons.
It's absurd at this point. Absolutely absurd. You could have a million parades. You could have fireworks. You can have baseball games. And you can't have freaking football practice in the middle of Westmoreland County. Absolutely absurd. Absurd. Anyhow, with that, we go out to the hotline and we talk to our friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm worse now that I've just heard that, Colin. You broke the news to me that there's going to be no Steelers training camp. I've been in St. Louis in my own little bubble, and I did not know that, and that sucks. And I agree with your reasoning.
Yeah, we broke the news to ourselves, you know,
about
too.
It's 3 minutes ago. Yeah,
just crazy. we turn the page to the Pirates. All right, give me your Reynolds play, and in what should happen, why should it happen, and what's the timeline in terms of contract, in terms of being any sort of trade bait, or in terms of re-signing him? What do you do with Reynolds?
I would go baseline with this, Colin. I would not turn my phone off. I wouldn't turn the phone off and you know, I would listen on everybody. I want to preface it with that because I think what I'm about to say, some people take it as I would never, ever trade. No, the position they're in, I would absolutely listen. However, I'm not actively trying to trade the guy. I don't think that's the right play for them. The right play for them is to sign him, extend him, get something done. I don't know if that happens in season or not. I think that's generally player to player. I wouldn't be against it if I'm the Pirates, but my play is to put a stake in the ground, sign a player, give fans a reason to believe. Like, yeah, I'd rather it be Cabrian Hayes. My sense on the situation is it's probably more likely to be Brian Reynolds at this point. But I think you have to at some point say, look, what we're doing is real. You should believe in it, and you can do it by extending Reynolds.
Jason, I get the feeling that over the course of the next 5 weeks, draft and trade deadline included, we're going to find out, or at least we're going to try to read the tea leaves as much as we can to get an idea of what Ben Cherington and his staff think the timeline is for this team's return to contention. If Brian Reynolds were to be included in a deal somewhere, that would indicate, okay, they probably think they're a little bit farther away. If they go with a high school shortstop over maybe a college pitcher or the catcher from Louisville, guys who might be ready a whole lot sooner than a high school shortstop, that would tell us, well, yeah, they're thinking this is going to be more like 4, maybe even 5 years rather than 2 or 3 years before they're back to playing winning baseball again. Is that your feeling, or am I just reading way too much into what we're going to see over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
I think you're reading too much into it, Chris. I think you just need to be a little bit careful with associating timeline with like who they draft, right? And you know, sure, it might say something, but it's more about how effectively they can develop guys, how soon guys can come up here and contribute. I mean, they have a loose idea. I think, you know, I don't think you can just say, look, like 2024 is our year. You know, what that's going to be predicated upon is stuff like, how soon is Rodolfo Castro ready? How soon is O'Neill Cruz ready? How soon is Mason Martin, Rosy Contreras, Miguel Yajure, et cetera? You know, and even pitchers in high A. How soon are those guys ready to contribute at the major league level? The draft, I don't like linking that with a competitive window, and here's why. You have a group of about 8 players who are all fairly similar, and I would not argue that, like, if they don't take Jack Leiter, to say, oh, their competitive window is different. No, I mean, what they're trying to do is employ a certain strategy. You know, maybe it's Marcelo Meyer, maybe it's Jordan Lawler, but you're trying to sign a guy and skimp a little bit on what you're paying him to take that money and then spend it in another area of the draft. It's not, we don't think we're going to be good by X date. You know, the Reynolds thing, I guess, plays into it a little bit more, but I'm careful with linking actions with like some sort of hard and fast ETA, because I just don't think there is one.
Jason Mackey joining us here. Jason Mackey brought to you, on that fan hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitas. All right, what do you think that the internal, if there's an internal memo or an internal conversation or any of that happening with the Pirates, and Chris just kind of touched on some of this, what do you think they think their timeline is?
Again, 2024, you know, if you have to put a year on it, it's just like I hesitate and exhale, because I don't think they're looking at this like we're not going to be good in 2023, but we'll automatically be good in 2024. Like, this stuff's not linear. And they're, you know, I would say not before then. I think that's fair. And I think that's why you're seeing them conduct business the way they have, you know, not signing a ton of guys and, you know, sort of being more experimental, I would say, in how they use some guys and divvy out playing time. My best guess, Colin, would be around about 2024. I think, you know, if you look at their timeline of prospects, if you look at where guys are relative to the major league team, like, I have a tough time seeing enough of them in the major league. And I could be wrong, they could be wrong. This stuff, again, is not linear, but I have a tough time believing that it's any sooner than, you know, 2024 fully and maybe partially in 2023.
Jason, why does Tyler Anderson seem to be the only starting pitcher in this rotation who's allowed to go deeper than he probably should be in certain ball games? We've seen Brubaker pulled early over the last week. We have the Will Crow situation from a couple weeks ago. And yet Anderson is routinely allowed to stay out there. We saw it in Washington a week ago. We saw it again the other day, although he was pitching really well at that point in time before the Grandal homer. But does Derek Shelton really have a philosophy that he's working off of here? Is it gut instinct? What is driving these decisions?
Well, with Anderson, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to say this, but they're not contractually tied to his arm. I mean, that's the reality of it. He's on an expiring free agent deal. He's not going to be a Pirate by the end of July. Maybe be traded before. And so, I mean, long-term mileage, like, they're not responsible for that. And why would they care? Their best opportunity is to go out, let him pitch. If he gives up a six spot in the first inning, it actually makes sense for them to keep him in, maybe get a couple zeros and knock the ERA down, even a fraction of a run or something. You know, with Brubaker, with Crow, like, I do think they would be better served by just saying this, by just coming out and saying, like, look, we really like JT Brubaker. We think he's a part of this long term. It's 162 games coming off 60. We're going to be really conservative. And that stinks now, but we hope you'll stay with us, and we're going to, you know, do what's right, what's best for his right arm. You know, as it is, they're talking about matchups. And, I mean, I understand the matchups are a part of it, but my theory, I don't think I'm alone, is that they don't want to get JT Brubaker hurt. They don't want to get Will Crow hurt. These things are always nuanced, and I don't agree with all of them. I don't think that's the right way to go about it, but, you know, I do think there's a part of this that looking also at the long term. And with Tyler Anderson, there isn't a long term.
Well, long term, you also want to find out what you have in these guys, though, and whether they can fight through those obstacles and those adversities. And when you pull a guy at the first sign of trouble, you're not necessarily getting to examine their resilience, and especially when you've sent a guy down to Indy for that very same reason.
100%. But with I don't argue with it with Keller. I actually talked to Carrington about this yesterday, about their willingness to, like, pull the plug on guys. And I'm writing about it for Sunday, so just a little bit of a tease for anybody listening. But, like, I don't have an issue there. It wasn't working with Mitch. You got to do something else. But, Chris, to your other point, like, with Brubaker, he's pitched really well. I want to see him go 100 pitches. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve to be taken out of that game. He needs to learn how to get through the sixth, seventh, tougher innings when he doesn't have, you know, his A stamina, or however you want to put it. Like, that's a learned trait, and that's going to matter if and when they get good again. And so that's what riles me up about not letting guys go deeper in games.
Did you think from the outside world or from baseball as a whole there'd be more talk about Frazier to the White Sox considering their injury situation, or there'd be at least more smoke there? Because I thought there'd be, especially with them being in town.
Yeah, I thought so a little bit, Colin. I do think everybody I've brought this up to, you know, just Pirates trade plans in general, but they obviously include Frazier, just talked about how early it is. It's too early. Now, with the White Sox, I agree with you. It's a little bit of an outlier that they have a need. They're clearly a competitive team. They can find a place for Frazier. You have a guy like that who gets on base with the number of, you know, power bats they have. Like, he's a perfect landing spot for them. But I do think the perception is that right now it's a little too early for something like that to happen, and the Pirates want to maximize what they get with Frazier, and I think they might view this as sort of cutting bait or selling a little bit low.
I asked David Bednar this the other day, and I'm curious what your perspective is on it, because, again, you guys aren't back in the clubhouse the way things were pre-pandemic yet, so you're not able to really observe what's going on in there. But a lot of these interactions I'm curious about happen when we wouldn't be in there anyway. Who do you think the guy is? And aside from Derek Shelton, who is the guy that walks into that clubhouse when they're in the midst of a 10-game losing streak and keeps everybody focused and keeps everybody pushing forward, pulling on the rope in the same direction, whatever cliche you want to use? Do they have that guy right now?
I don't think they do, Chris. I don't think they do. And, you know, I don't mean to say that to be critical of them. I just think that it is where they're at, where that guy needs to step up. They need to learn who that guy is. You know, I think there's a few that play a part. You know, like Jacob Stallings is a contributing factor there. Adam Frazier is a contributing factor there. I think Brian Reynolds, Key Brian Hayes, will eventually grow into being contributing factors there. But, like, I know what you're getting at. I know when times are sort of tough, you have, like, the heartbeat of the team kind of guy. You know, and the Penguins ooze them. And that's why you saw the Penguins have the success that they did. But I don't think that guy is as sort of omnipresent in the Pirates clubhouse. Now, it's a different sport, and so I wouldn't make that direct comparison, at least in terms of, like, a, you know, lose 10 in a row leadership guy. And as odd as it is, like, if we talk about calming voices, I think we probably don't talk about Stallings enough. Yes, he's not, you know, their best offensive player or something like that, but he's a guy, you can't help but respect him. You can't help but respect what he's done in his career, and he's not afraid to be honest. So I would, if you made me pick one, Chris, I would go with Stallings.
Well, that's the one name that Bednar mentioned, too, so that's not surprising at all.
Yeah, everything went to hell when they lost noted clubhouse leader Keona Kella, that's for sure. Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we'll see you. I don't even know what to say.
I don't want to talk to you guys ever, 3 days later.
Ever.
How come you guys don't want to talk to me?
You guys are mean to me. Why are you so mean? Why does everybody hate me? I hate all the media.
John Parado, I don't want to talk to you or those guys from The Fan, okay?
Tell them they stink.
2 days later.
Why is everybody mean to me?
How come nobody wants to talk to me?
This is weird.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.